Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. The city of Baltimore is known for its neighborhoods that feature block after block of neatly nestling row homes. It turns out the narrow, huddled houses are found in just a handful of American cities, but the style's origins are steeped in politics across the Atlantic. Charles Duff has looked deeply into this iconic architecture and how it got here. Duff is president of Jubilee Baltimore, a nonprofit that focuses on neighborhood revitalization and mixed-use historic urban development. Notable projects include City Arts and City Arts 2, affordable housing for artists in the Station North Arts District, as well as the renovation and conversion of the historic Center Theater on North Avenue, now home to Maryland Institute College of Art and Johns Hopkins University film programs. Next Thursday, January 18th, at the Village Learning Place in Charles Village, Duff will share what he knows and show pictures in a lecture titled Baltimore and Her Sisters, Row House Cities of the World. He's here to give us a preview. Welcome to On the Record, Charlie.
Thanks, Sheila. Good to be here.
An architecture style born from politics. Talk us through that.
Well, every architecture style is born from politics or society, political economy. People build what they need. They build what they can afford. And this makes buildings a way of understanding what a society was like. And in the case of the row house started out in the Middle Ages, and it was the way common people lived in cities. Nobles lived very differently. They lived in big palaces. But common people lived in ramshackle wooden row houses. So how did we get brick row houses that don't fall down? We got them in the first country that was ruled by common people, the Netherlands, Holland.
That's where it came from.
That's where it came from. And if you've ever been to Amsterdam or Delft or Leiden or one of the beautiful cities in Holland, you're looking at the birthplace of the way Baltimore builds. That's where it started.
And when? What era are we talking about?
It was the generation of Rembrandt and Vermeer in the 1600s. There was a century when the Dutch were the greatest painters, the greatest seafarers, and that was the century in which the Dutch, this middle-class republic in the 1600s, figured out how to take the ramshackle common people's row house of the Middle Ages and make it beautiful, make it into beautiful art made out of brick or stone with the architecture of ancient Rome, and they managed to make it beautiful without making it aristocratic. They made a beautiful style for the common people.
And so other big cities in Europe, like, say, Paris, a different kind of political history, they didn't generate row houses.
Nope. Paris is a beautiful city, and I don't mean to say anything against it, but it doesn't have a lot of row houses. Parisians live in apartment houses, and the apartment houses of Paris are the most beautiful in the world. They look like palaces, and that's the point. Medieval cities had ramshackle row houses, and then nobles had palaces. And the French wanted to live like noblemen. And so middle-class Parisians to this day will rent three or four rooms in a big building that looks like a nobleman's palace in 1600. Paris went one way. Amsterdam went the other.
So we're talking about the 1600s, the late 17th century. How was the design of cities changing, and how were the needs of cities changing?
Oh, Sheila, big question. But in general, the 1600s are the first time since ancient Rome when Europeans set about making their cities orderly. In 1600, cities still had streets that were 8 feet wide, and the streets were twisting. They had big holes in them, and they didn't have sewer systems and just disgusting places. And it was in the 1600s that people invented what we think of as the normal street. That's straight and has a sidewalk. That's invented in the 1600s. It's in the 1600s that people invented outdoor places that were pleasant to be in, where you could go and be just because you wanted to. Everybody did it differently, but everybody did it. The 1600s are the birth of what we think of as cities.
Let's talk about London, because it had a huge fire in the second half of the 17th century.
Oh, it did. The whole city of London burnt down in 3 days in 1666. Luckily for England, the Dutch were already up and running by then, and the English really admired what the Dutch were doing. And besides, England was much more like Holland than you would think. London was a big middle-class city. It was Amsterdam's big trading rival. And even the noblemen and gentlemen in Parliament, they had big country houses, but they didn't have big townhouses. They weren't in London a lot. And so London rebuilt on the model of Amsterdam. And London became a city of red brick row houses. Most of London still is a city of brick row houses. It's the biggest row house city in the world.
How big a change was that from how London looked before the Great Fire of 1666?
It was tremendous. It was an extreme makeover. Before the Great Fire, London was just a medieval mess with these twisting alleys and big, tall houses that were always falling down. And after it,
They had big, tall houses?
Oh, some of these things were 5 and 6 stories tall. And the upper stories projected out over the street, so the street might be 8 feet wide. But the upper stories made the street only 1 or 2 feet wide.
And in the air.
In the air. Up in the air. So everything was dark all the time. There wasn't a lot of privacy either. And when London got rebuilt, it had what we think of as streets. It had what we think of as houses. It looked kind of like Fells Point or Otterbein or Bolton Hill. It looked kind of like Baltimore.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass, speaking with Charles Duff, president of Jubilee Baltimore, about the development of row house architecture and how it arrived in Baltimore. He'll be speaking about it next Thursday at the Village Learning Place in Charles Village. You've taken me exactly to what I wanted to ask you. How did the row house style make the jump across the Atlantic Ocean?
Think about who settled the east coast of the United States. It was a combination of the English and the Dutch. And in fact, the oldest American city, the oldest city in other than St. Augustine, is New York, that was started by the Dutch. And by the time New York was started in 1626, you remember they bought it for $24, the Dutch revolution of row house architecture had already begun, and New Yorkers got off to a good Dutch start. By the time Philadelphia was settled in 1682, London had already been rebuilt, and there were thousands of English workmen who knew how to build brick row houses, and many of them came to Philadelphia with William Penn. And Philadelphia became a city in the school of London. And Baltimore grew up in that world. Baltimore's newer than Philadelphia, and by the time Baltimore got started, there were lots of Americans who knew how to do that, and that was what they wanted to do. The row house was to the 18th century in America what the skyscraper is today. The row house showed that you're a real city. You're not just a village. If you've got brick row houses, you're the real deal. And everybody wanted them, and Baltimore grew, and it got rich enough to afford them, and it built them.
Interesting to me that you say, but if you don't have row houses, you're just a village. I mean, Baltimore did start as a trading village, essentially.
Baltimore started as a village. The guys who invented Baltimore created a 60-acre village with 60 building lots, an average of 1 acre per house, so it was meant to be a village. But it grew. It succeeded. Things got out of hand. It became a city. And our ancestors in Baltimore said, we're getting to be a city. Let's do it right. And doing it right meant row houses.
Where did row houses first pop up in Baltimore?
The first row house was built on Baltimore Street, on the south side of the street between Light Street and Calvert Street. And it had a dock out behind it because the harbor shoreline was at Water Street. If you walk downtown in Baltimore, you'll see there's a Water Street. It's a long way from the water,
but it
didn't used to be. It used to be what its name implies. There's been a lot of landfilling. So the first row house in Baltimore survived into the 1850s, long enough for somebody to take a picture of it, and it looks exactly like a row house in London or Philadelphia.
You know, these days when you walk around a row house neighborhood like Fells Point that you mentioned or Capitol Hill in D.C., you get the feeling the style comes out of a desire to pack the most people into the smallest space for protection, for ease of commerce. But is that part of the reason for row houses, packing a lot of people in?
No, it isn't. And as you ask that question, I realize you must be an American. Americans are the only people in the world who think that row house cities are crowded.
Explain
if you
it.
Go to France or Germany or Italy, these are countries where the cities have apartment houses. And they are four, five, six times more crowded than London and Baltimore. Paris is four times more crowded than London. It has four times more people living on each acre.
And that's because they build higher up?
They build higher up.
Residentially.
And people have much less private space. And so one of the things I discovered in researching this, Londoners had big houses, Parisians had small apartments. Londoners could entertain at home, Parisians couldn't. Londoners invented the dinner party, Parisians invented the restaurant.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Londoners tended to entertain at home.
Londoners tended to entertain at home. London didn't have restaurants until late in the 19th century. And even then, they weren't any good. As a matter of fact, until 20 years ago, they weren't any good. But
that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
When you get to North America, the same kind of social organization, people entertained at home. There weren't many restaurants in colonial times.
Right. There were bars, there were taverns, but there weren't restaurants.
You're describing row houses sort of all the way along the Atlantic, the cities along the Atlantic coast.
Yes.
How far south?
The most beautiful row house city in America is Savannah, Georgia, where you have very strict, sober-looking London-style houses built around a system of 24 garden squares. And this is Georgia. You can grow anything in Georgia. So these squares are gardened with tropical magnificence. And you get these very sober London houses looking out over tropical paradise. And Savannah is an extraordinary row house city.
But this style, houses?
And New Orleans. As you wander around New Orleans, which I hope you all do, preferably not in the summer, you will find, much to your surprise, hundreds and hundreds of houses that look like Baltimore and Philadelphia. New Orleans became part of the United States in 1803, and a lot of Americans moved down there, and they took their habits with them, including their habits of building.
You describe the row house as a habit, but it did not spread past the coast cities.
Oh, it did. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, St. Louis, all of these were row house cities by 1850. Most of the row houses in those cities have been torn down for one reason or another. But if you had gone to Pittsburgh, St. Louis, and Cincinnati in 1850, you would have said, looks like Baltimore, Philadelphia, and New York to me. Looks like London and Amsterdam to me.
I mentioned Capitol Hill. You mentioned Savannah and New Orleans. Where close to here is a good place for Baltimoreans to see their sister cities, their sister row house cities?
The prettiest row house city in America is Frederick, Maryland. And just go out and walk around the center of Frederick and realize that we have a really wonderful way of building. Annapolis is pretty nice too, but Frederick is the real tiny row house city. And then the classics. What's wrong with Georgetown in D.C.? The only thing that's wrong with Georgetown is that it's not on Metro, but otherwise it's perfect. Capitol Hill, otherwise it's perfect. If you're fond of Philadelphia, it's hard to beat Society Hill in Philadelphia or the really grand houses around Rittenhouse Square. Rittenhouse is Philadelphia's version of Mount Vernon. New York, before they had skyscrapers, it was totally a row house city, and it still has hundreds of thousands of them. Go to Brooklyn Heights. Brooklyn Heights is the Federal Hill of New York. You'll be looking out over Wall Street, spectacular across the East River, but look around you. Brooklyn Heights looks like Bolton Hill. It is a beautiful row house neighborhood right across the river from Wall Street. And then, conceivably, the best row house design in America is in Boston, in the neighborhoods of Beacon Hill and the Back Bay. Boston didn't start out with row houses, but along about 1800, they said, wow, we've got to catch up. We've got to be a big city. And they went through a revolution, started building row houses, and built some beauties.
Well, I really appreciate this picture. You make me eager to go out and walk some row house streets.
Good. Thank you. Let's go together.
Thank you. Charles Duff is president of Jubilee Baltimore, a nonprofit that focuses on neighborhood revitalization and mixed-use historic urban development. His lecture and slideshow, Baltimore and Her Sisters, Row House Cities of the World, will take place next Thursday, January 18th, 7 p.m. at Village Learning Place, 2521 St. Paul Street. We have a link to information about the event at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cast, On the Record. Short break now, and then a Stoop story. Stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.